Alrighty. Turn in your Bibles to two places to start off with. Proverbs chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 7. You know, the reading and the memorizing and the thinking on and meditating on the Scriptures, talking the Bible, thinking about the words of God, it is something that God gave us to literally make our life. And if we will neglect it, any individual, any group of people, then we have to find some other way to get through life. And so it should not surprise us that there are always true and counterfeit words, thoughts, sayings, guiding beliefs, etc. There has to be two different sets. There's one where God forms our life. And then there are words and thoughts and sayings and philosophies, etc., that we make our own life. We might even think we're making our own life while we're helping someone who had the ultimate ambition aside from God, Lucifer himself, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, where he had his own ambition. He had his own will. He had, I will, I will, I will. And so we find that everything in life has its true and its counterfeit. In Proverbs chapter 4, one of those places that you visit all the time as a believer in your daily Bible reading, usually in the morning or whenever you happen to start your day. Some people work a night shift, so their day kind of starts in the afternoon before they head out, etc. But one of the things you notice in the book of Proverbs is that it tries to set a foundation for guiding, for making our life. For example, Proverbs 4 verse 1 says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." And how important are spiritual fathers, spiritual guides and molds upon our life? He said, "For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." We know this is Solomon speaking. We know that his father David was a man after God's own heart, and yet David has recorded in eternity his two or three really greatest sins. Of course, two of them go together, adultery and murder. We find one of the sins that God holds most against David was numbering the people at the end of his life, and there's some great insight into the Lord there. But the point of what I want to say by way of introduction is that he said, "He taught me also," verse 4, "and said unto me," now watch, "let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Love her, she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." Verse 10. "Hear, O my son," and would you mark this phrase, "receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." And he gives more admonitions. Look down at verse 20. "My son, attend to my words, incline thine heart unto my sayings." Notice in this passage, he says in verse 2, "I give you good doctrine." He said, "Watch my words, forsake ye not my law." And he says in verses 10 and 20 that we are to grab on to and hold on to the sayings that we get from God's wise men. Put a marker there in Proverbs chapter 4. Come over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we'll begin reading in verse 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. What a great picture. People talk about building your life and making your life. And there are some fellows who are way off track about your best life now or everything now. Your best is yet to come. Either your best or your worst. Let me tell you that for sure. Your best or your worst. If you get your best life now, it's possible you're going to hell. That would be a horrible thing to have happen. But look what he said. He said, he doeth the sayings. He heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The subject matter from these verses and a few more that we'll direct your attention to is words to live and die by. I guess if you were going to have to make this thing, if you're going to critique it, we'd say words by which to live and die. But I'm going to say words to live and die by. You know, the Bible, the Scriptures teach us about how God made us. It also teaches us how sin has marred us. So in everything in life, you've got how God made you and how sin has marred this creation, including ourselves. In our beginning text here, we see a father recommending his sayings to his son. And so the Lord made it where sayings influence us. There are different words that come to mind when you think of sayings. There are slogans, for example. There are quotations. There are speeches. A saying might be, the only two sure things in life are death and taxes. You know, those kind of things. The modern day thing, you know, is life short, play hard, and just do it and all that rubbish. But you see, our Bible tells us that we need to have a very special process whereby we get our words to live and die by. If a man would take the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ and live by them, he would be building upon a sure foundation for time and eternity. If he would build upon sayings that are not matching of Christ, if he were built upon sayings that are unscriptural and against God, no matter how good they felt, maybe even no matter how successful in this world they were, he would be building upon a shaky, crumbling, fading foundation. You see, sayings do some things by way of introduction still. Sayings, for example, they stick with you. You probably can remember sayings. I know I can. I can remember sayings from my earliest days of memory, I can remember sayings. Sayings stick with you. Sayings set a certain spirit in a person's heart and mind. For example, there is a statement in the book of Psalm 49. And in Psalm 49, he's talking about the wise man and the fool and brutish. And he says, he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands by their own names. You know what the picture is? The picture is this world. This world names roads after themselves, and lands after themselves, and properties after themselves. However, Psalm 49:12 says, nevertheless, man, being in honor, abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, verse 13. Yet their posterity approve their sayings, Selah. He's saying that there are sayings that set a certain spirit, and they will guide people through life, and you may find a great majority of people that say, they don't say amen like we do, but they say, yeah, that's right, that's right. And it sets a certain spirit. Whether that saying is correct or not, whether it's true or not, whether it's of God or not, it's still going to set a certain spirit. Not only sticks with you, it only sets a certain spirit by way of introduction, it speaks to your inner person. God made words to influence you as much as anything there is on the whole face of the earth. And so these words speak to your inner person. They affect you inside. They affect you who you really are. Lost or saved, carnal or spiritual, these sayings. They are a standard. You get a saying and hang on to it, it becomes a standard by which you measure other things. Get your sayings wrong and your standard is wrong. Get your sayings wrong and your existence is wrong. Get your sayings wrong and your outcome is wrong. And fifthly, by way of introduction, these sayings can save your neck or sink your ship. Can save your neck or sink your ship. We read in the Lord Jesus Christ's teachings here and His sayings that it can either give you a safe, sound foundation or it can give you sand upon which to build. You remember during the old war they said loose lips sinks ships. Loose lips sink ships. Why? Because there were information being passed that would cause men to get killed because the enemy found out where that ship was going. Three things today about words to live and die by, sayings. And I'm not going to give you a whole bunch of the sayings. I'm not going to try to go through that. I have multiple sayings written down in my Bible in different places, and I revisit them. And of course, many, many of them are just scriptural verses that have been memorized. Some of them are words from hymns. I'd like to give three things about sayings, three things about words to live and die by, whereby you might, as a believer, help yourself make sure you've got the right sayings and get some sayings. Can I just say this at the beginning? It is foolish. It is foolish to think that you've got to have a whole bunch of new sayings. You know, a settled saying from an old man of God is worth far more than this modern rubbish that's going around. And I know you'll understand what I'm saying, but a fella is still a punk, you might say, if he scoffs at safe, sound elders' sayings. Now, you know something? If you find yourself in that position, instead of getting offended that I use that word, and I'm just using it to get your attention, then slap yourself upside the face and say, okay, hold it, wait. I've got to get myself straightened out here. Some of these bull riders, to try to get themselves in the right frame of mind, they will literally do the old aftershave thing where they slap themselves in the face right before they pull that chute. They got to get themselves ready because they're just about to have a little bit of contact. And I'm saying to you right now that make sure that you decide that you're going to get some good sayings. Here's three things about your sayings. Number one, sayings, words to live and die by, need to be intensely scriptural. Intensely scriptural. Now, fair enough, they may not all be word-for-word scripture, I understand that. But many can be and ought to be. And of course, the beginning point is to memorize some scripture. Romans 8:28, you need that scripture. If you don't, you will, and so you need it ready. Forewarned is forearmed. John 3:16, 1 John 5:13, these verses over and over that come to your mind. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It is appointed a man once to die, and after this the judgment. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and over and over. And there's verses, he giveth his beloved sleep. I mean, you need sayings, and the place to start is with being intensely scriptural. And the way to do that is start with scripture and make your standard scripture. And so you've got to be careful that a saying is not loosely applied. You see, one wrong word can bring out a wrong spirit. If you took the two first commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and then the second one, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do not have to throw out the first commandment, just let the other one, the second one, become preeminent. Just switch them in order. The order matters. You know, we face a time when we know that this has happened. The world is overrun by what has been commonly called feminism. And, of course, they try to get other words for it because it's such a buzzword that reacts brings a reaction, you know, and incites a riot and all that kind of stuff. But it got its start by just changing a few words. We have this thing today about fighting against abortion stuff called the right to life. And I would present to you that what they've done is they've fallen into the trap of the enemy because they're arguing about rights, the right to life. And so the enemy is going to disprove who has this right and that. When the Bible clearly talks about the fact that God has a law about it, and that law says what they're doing is not right, period. It's not about the right to life only. That's just a small element of it. It's that the other people don't have a right to be taking the life. That's the point. See, if you're not careful, the enemy can dull your sword, even take away its edge altogether. Now, would you mark this down? 1 John chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1. He said, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. There is success, and there is good success. Success is not necessarily good success. There is courage, and there is good courage. And the two are not always synonymous. Now, the lack of knowledge, and you know what the lack of knowledge equals, the word ignorance. But the lack of knowledge of present day preachers has led to some wrong sayings. It has led to wrong motives. It has led to wrong ways of doing ministry because those wrong sayings were not deeply, intensely scriptural. They may have had a resemblance to scripture. That's not intensely scriptural. And so they need to be intensely scriptural. See, out of context is a dangerous thing. I was at a gun show and heard these two people talking. One guy had his booth there and he had his share of weapons out there and got to talking. And I walked up to him and I'd been thinking, I'll find some of these guys. They think that they'll know one verse in all the Bible, and that is where the Lord Jesus said to sell your scrip and get you a sword. And sure enough, this guy knew that verse. So we got to talking, and I gave him some other verses and stuff. Of course, I think you better carry a sword, especially in certain parts where you live. Of course, nowadays, you're probably going to carry a weapon that's got a little more punch than that at a little more distance. But the idea is, the Lord said, and one of the disciples says, here are two swords. And so some of the fellows know that, but they don't know hardly any other scripture. And so you got to beware of things out of context. Beware of diaries and planners and calendars. Beware of posters and etc. It is words, 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 and our sayings must be intensely scriptural. Does that mean they can only be scripture? No, not at all. Not at all. And we'll talk about that. I'll try to get to that in the time allotted me. And I've got many of them, and I've accumulated them from the old men of God and from different places. But the first thing is intensely scriptural. These things will rule your life. Why do you think advertising gives you the idea that you either owe it to yourself or you owe it to somebody else? Because we have within us the sense of debt and owing and responsibility and conscience, and so it begins a whole process. Number two, they need to be interpreted spiritually. You could use another word if it might help you, illuminated spiritually. Yes, some sayings are earthy, but if they're only earthy, if they only match what's happening on earth, you need to be very, very careful. You need to disqualify it. Because there are two different kinds of wisdom. And because there are two different kinds of wisdom, there are two different kinds of sayings. And it's very important to get the difference between the two. In James chapter 3, he said, if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Where envy and strife is, there confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality, without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Those are God's sayings. So you got to be very careful. Example, he tells us in 2 Timothy, endure hardness as. What? As a good soldier. Is that it? Endure hardness as a good soldier? No. Of Jesus Christ. Of Jesus Christ. You got to get the whole saying. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to help us understand this saying. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So he points everything back to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, a soldierly saying, and I've got my share of them because I think you ought to have them. And you ought to have a soldier's mentality in this Christian life. But it's as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So you've got to settle in on that, and you've got to interpret your sayings, your mottos, your slogans, your words to live and die by. They need to be interpreted and illuminated spiritually. You need to beware of what witnesses to the human nature only. What gets an unsaved man through or a carnal Christian through isn't a good saying. If it works for that unsaved man without any scriptural, spiritual illumination, we need to beware of it. You see, there are all kinds of different motives and motivations. There can be a revenge, might be a motivation. There might be the desire for liberty or self-satisfaction or self-realization, all that stuff. The judgment seat of Christ, for example, to a Bible-believing Christian, a believer, is a great measure. And apply a clearly spiritual interpretation. And if you can't, discard that motto and find a different one, that saying. He warns us to beware of philosophy in the book of Colossians. He warns us to beware of science falsely so-called in 1 Timothy. And so that's why our life, because our life must be intensely scriptural and scriptured, then our words must be interpreted and illuminated spiritually. We are spirit, soul, and body, 1 Thessalonians 5, as a believer. Spirit, then soul, then body. It literally works from the inside out. And the world has just taken that little tiny saying to try to get themselves just a little bit of extra credibility. So what do we do? Okay. Weigh every saying in the balances of Scripture. Weigh everyone. Watch every saying for the leaven of the flesh and Satan. And write every saying that has spirit witness and delete the rest. You may have to hit delete several times on your brain computer and your heart. It may not just go to the trash and empty. It may stay in the trash and keep popping up. It may be in your spam head folder. But the idea is this, intensely scriptural, interpreted and illuminated spiritually. And then thirdly, the third and closing idea of this thing about words to live and die by. And I hope that you'll set out in your heart to have some. But I hope that you'll first take the ones you have, whether you realize them or not, and take every one of them and deal with them, whether intensely scriptural, whether they're interpreted, illuminated spiritually. And then number three, when they are, they need to be indelibly set. Luke 9, mark it, verse 44. The Lord Jesus Christ says, let these sayings sink down into your hearts. Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Your scriptures go on to tell you in verse 45, but they understood not this saying. It was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. It says here, let these sayings sink down into your ears. Let it go beyond your ear, down into your heart. Now, no. Do not go get a tattoo. Okay? That would be indelibly set, but that's not what he's talking about. But do you know that's the reason why soldiers do it and other people do it? You see, a true, valuable, worthy saying needs to be indelibly set in you. They take those special forces and it's no man left behind. It's indelibly set in them so they will react accordingly. Your Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That has to be indelibly set so that you're not surprised when it happens. You see, it will surprise people. It will offend people when trouble comes. unless they're ready for it. When they're ready for it, then it's a whole different deal. And those things of being prepared, many of them have to do with sayings, intensely scriptural, interpreted spiritually, illuminated to you, and then indelibly set. You can do some simple, practical things. Make a neat little label up and put that saying somewhere. Write it in a planner. Make a personal little 3x5 card. Make a personal t-shirt out of it. But you don't have to wear it for the whole world necessarily. You can if you wish. And once you're settled in, on your sayings, make sure that they are words to live and die by. Once they've been settled, then you need to pass them on. Listen, if you have to have a bunch of whole new ones that you had to make up, I don't mean you can't make any up, but if you had to have all new ones, there's something wrong. It's carnal. You're wise to start with to choose tried and true sayings and then pass them on. Let me tell you what's happened to young people. Their sayings are everything but God's sayings. Their sayings are everything but, you ready? Intensely scriptural and interpreted spiritually. And the world is firing at them as fast as they can fire them, trying to get them to accept them. And I would encourage you, get some sayings. Put them places, but just do these three things. Make sure they match up. Then get those sayings and pass those sayings on. And if you've got some influence over young people, over new believers, get these in their minds. Teach them these things we've just looked at today. And make sure, make sure that they understand how important these sayings are. Father, use this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.